Okay, I thought today what we would do in the little bit of time that I have, there's a lot more here than I'm going to be able to do, but instead of doing the Parsha this week in preparation as our last men's call before Pesach, to share some Haggadah insights that maybe you'll be able to stay over if your grandchildren give you even a second to breathe. Shver, you might hear some of these repeated. I hope it's okay. Yeah. He's not coming. Yeah.
Forget about that.
So what I wanted to do is maybe spend a few moments really zipping through a lot of some fantastic insights that I've had the opportunity, the privilege to be able to see, to learn over my lifetime. There's a lot more, but I limited to a few here, a few there. And then some of them you'll be able to say over and share it with your families. Okay. Only time of year we have a Seder is Pesach. Right, we don't really have a Seder any other the Yomim Tovim. We have Rosh Hashanah. You'll tell me you have the Seder for the different segulas, the different things that I have to say, but that's not a part and parcel of what the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah is. You'll tell me we have a Tu B'Shvat Seder also. Not something that is, really part of our, observing of the particular Yom Tov per se. The only time that we have a Seder where really we're obligated by halacha to be able to observe it in a particular order, doing certain things at certain times, is the Pesach Seder. And the obvious question is why? Why dafka on Pesach do we have a Seder? Why not make kiddush like every other yontif? Have a salad, throw in some karpas and murra, a couple other vegetables. You want to have a dressing that has some salt in it. That's good too. And you have your meal, say some divrei Torah over the Shulchan Orech, and you're good to. Why does it have to be a prescribed formula? There's a certain way of going about doing things. So, Rav Shlomo Aviner, if you do not know who he is, he's probably the biggest Rav Posek in the Dati Leumi world. I believe he's the Rosh Yeshiva Ataris Kohanim. And he has an incredible, incredible Haggadah. If you're interested in something new, it's been around for a long time, but it's a really fantastic Haggadah. I'll probably quote him a couple of times. Quotes the Maharal. And he says that the reason why Chazal orchestrated, choreographed, organized our evening of Pesach, Dafta Kiseder, like in order is to convey a certain message. You see, Pesach is the Shoresh of our Emunah. The night of Pesach is really when the Jewish people became a nation. It is really where all the fundamentals of our belief system stem from, right? That's why we don't just say over Vartlach Stam, but we want to look to our grandparents. We want the Shalshelas HaMesora. We want there to be a baton passing. Dafka at the Seder. Because Pesach is the platform, the forum for transmitting that Mesora, that Emuna. And one of the things that Chazal wanted to make clear even before we get the Seder started is that just as we have a Seder night, there's a Seder to the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in the world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles for the Jewish people when they left Egypt, they weren't Stam. They weren't, I was in the mood to play a video game with the Egyptians, so I'll bring some makos. Some of those guys in the Mitzrayim, that community deserve to be drowned in the Kriyas Yamsuf. So you know what, we'll have a little fun today. We're going to dump them all in the water. No, that's not the way things work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates every single miracle with a specific intent. There is no happenstance. There's no arbitrary performances. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, because he's not a person, so he doesn't think, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighs his options and he very carefully deliberates and determines when to intervene in the world and when to take a step back from it and allow things to happen. That, by the way, is also actively doing something, because by allowing something to happen, you're also actively letting something happen. But at the end of the day, no one should ever think, as you begin the Pesach Seder, no one should ever think to themselves that some of the miracles or even the daily occurrences that we are in our lives happen on their own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly being mashgiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly intervening with a Seder, with a specific intention in mind. And so Chazal wanted us to know as kind of a foundation for the entire night that we're going to have a Seder Pesach night. And you know why we're going to have a Seder Pesach night? To communicate that message that just as we are having a Seder in terms of our being Mekayim the Mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Seder in every single thing that happens in this world. We say in our Kaddish, page number 2, we say in our Kaddish, Chag HaMatzos Hazeh. However, if you take a look in most rabbinic literature and colloquially, We do not refer to this holiday as Chag HaMatzos. We, in fact, refer to this holiday as Chag HaPesach. Where do we see that this holiday is referred to as Chag HaMatzos? Only in the Torah. With the exception of when Chazal repeated as Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh in our Kiddush, like the way it was stated in our Torah. You ever wonder why? I never thought about it. I didn't think about it until I saw this question. Why does the Torah call it Chag HaMatzos and we call it Chag HaPesach? Always, because that we're alluding to that which is quoted in the Torah. But if you're looking in Ma'amari Chazal, if you look in the Gemara is not called Matzos, the Gemara is called Psachim. Right? Why? What's Pshat? So I've seen it quoted in a few different places. What? Calls it what? So good. So what's Pshat? So I've seen it quoted in a few different places in the name of the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, gives a beautiful insight. I'm going to share it with you today. We know the Gemara Brachos tells us that in the tefillin of the Jewish people, we have Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What's in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Umi ka'amcha Yisrael go'echad ba'aretz. What's Pshat, says the Gemara? Pshat is that in the tefillin of the Jewish people, they feel incredibly lucky, Zoche, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that you have allowed us to be your people. We feel that's unbelievable zechus. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel? An unbelievable zechus that we've chosen him as our God. Here we go. Says the Kedushas Levi, that's the vort in Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaPesach. We call it Chag HaPesach to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for passing over us and saving our lives. Unbelievable, right? What a geschmack. We call it Chag HaPesach to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving our lives. Why does the Torah call Chag HaMatzos? Because we demonstrated such an unbelievable statement, level of emunah, that we didn't even wait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's time to go. And we didn't even wait for one split second. We left so quickly that the matzahs didn't even have enough time to rise. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it Chag HaMatzos to praise the Jewish people for that emunah. And we call Chag HaPesach to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving our lives and choosing us as his people. Wow. That's a good one. Yeah? Good, let's keep going. Karpas. Quote the Lord. Karpas, here we go. We know that there are two times in which we dip Seder night. We dip Seder night when we dip the karpas in salt water. We dip Seder night when we dip the maror in charoses. Says the Lord, with a small L, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs Shlita, that these two dippings, listen, don't read it, I want you to feel it. These two dippings correspond to the two dippings that took place during the episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where are the two dippings? So the first one happened really long, it was like the prologue, right? Right way before it even went down to Egypt. The brothers take the Ksonas Pasim, they take the multicolored cloak, they dip it in the goat's blood, they show it to Yaakov Avinu, they say, look, your son's dead. And that's kind of where the story seemed to have end. That's the first time they dip. The second time they dipped was when they took the Agudas Ezov, they took the hyssop, and they dipped it in the blood, and they smeared it along the mashkof, the threshold for where our mezuzahs and the top where our mezuzahs should be placed, right before they left Egypt, so that way the Malach HaMavis should know not to kill those people who are living inside. Listen to this insight by Rabbi Sachs. Unbelievable. He says those two dippings that occurred in our history correlate to the two dippings we have Pesach night. Listen to this. Rabbi Sachs says that when a person is free and can be living a life of sweetness, when you don't treat others with respect, it becomes bitter. You can have the karpas Seder night. That's nice and sweet. But if you dip it in salt water, what happens? It becomes bitter. You can have the brothers who are as free as can be. But when there's disharmony, when there's disunity, that freedom can turn into bitterness. Conversely, you could be slaves in Egypt. You could feel the harshness of what it means to have been enslaved for 210 years. You can have that maror that is so bitter. But when you're ba'achdus, when you're unified, the bitter becomes sweet. The bitter becomes sweet. I'll read it to you inside. Look at this, last paragraph. The two dippings recall these events. The karpas itself, sweet, is dipped in salt and becomes sour. The mar itself is dipped into the charoses and has some of the bitterness removed. These two acts remind us that freedom, which is sweet, becomes sour when it is used to mistreat others. Slavery, which is bitter, is sweetened when collective suffering becomes human solidarity and thus a prelude to freedom. And that's the pshat. These two dippings correlate to that historical experience, both at the beginning and at the end of this experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Good so far. We're on a roll. We're going to keep going. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. Here we go. Yachatz. Okay. No, Nivlo Machas, take him out of Egypt. By Machas B'Shoros also? Okay. I stand corrected. Okay. Yachatz. Yachatz. Take the middle matzah. We have three matzahs, I always like to say. Rabbi Ben, you're going to like this one. Cohen, Levi, and the lowly second class, third class citizens, Yisrael. That's right, Shver. This is one area I take the cake on, okay? Us Kohanim, we'll always end up on top. Oh, I'm a Cohen, yeah. You won't forget it. We break the middle matzah. We break the middle matzah. We play the game of which one's bigger and smaller. The Lord asks the obvious question. It's implicit, but he asks the obvious question. He says, how can it be? We know the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that the matzah has a nickname. What's the matzah's nickname? Lechem Oni, right? The Gemara gives two different pshatim, at least two. Right? Lechem Oni, it's the oppressed bread. Lechem Shonim Alev Dvarim Harbe, right? That we're going to say the whole Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim over. How could it be that the same item represents Lechem Oni, oppression, and then when we eat the matzah at the end of Magid, we're celebrating the fact that we were free? How could you have that? So either make it Maror, let it be as representative of bitterness, good. Make it freedom, let it be like the wine when we lean, recline. But how could you have something at the beginning of the Seder represents a symbolic of Avdus, of everything wrong in that experience of being in Egypt, and just a few minutes later, a couple hours later, depending how rushed your shver is going to be, it depends how long it's going to be, but at the end of the day, it's going to represent freedom. What's pshat? So Rabbi Sachs has such an incredible vart, and it's such a Musar Haskel about Avodas Hashem. He writes the following, last two lines. The difference between freedom and slavery lies not in the quality of the bread we eat, but in the state of mind in which we eat it. How much of our lives are dependent on our perspective? You can be broigus, or you can let things slide. You could have a better day, you could have a worse day. I always say, my wife in this area, I'm not kissing out to my shver, it's too late, shver. You have me for good. It's not, I'm not going anywhere. My wife is excellent in this area. There's very few things that rattle her. There are very few things that get her, you know, ruffle her feathers. Everything slides. Everything slides. It's all about perspective. I'll say it again because it's such an incredible line. The difference between freedom and slavery lies not in the quality of the bread we eat, but in the state of mind in which we eat it. Our entire lives are so much less about the predicaments we find ourselves in, and so much more about how we interpret and react to those predicaments. We're all going to have bumps along the way. Life is not free. We're going to have our nisyonos, we're going to have our challenges. But how many of you see the difference in the affect of people? You see the difference in the people who are really successful in terms of how they respond to those situations. How do they react to those situations? How do they internalize situations? That matzah has not changed. It's the same matzah. It's the same matzah. But it's all about how you look at the situation. And that, says Rabbi Sachs, is why you can have the lechem oni, poor man's bread at the beginning, and the lechem of cherus when you're celebrating the leaving of Egypt. Magid. You'll tell me when Rabbi Sugarman is here, okay? You'll give me the sign.
He's listening.
Okay. Halach Ma'anya. Very troublesome passage. Very troublesome. First of all, we believe in Hachnasas Orchim all year round. We do not just believe in Hachnasas Orchim, the Pesach Seder. Why all of a sudden do we care so much about inviting guests? Question number one. Question number two. How many of you go out and invite the guests when that happens? Anybody? Anybody open the door, scream? You do not stop it.
Not there anymore.
It's kind of like a weird time also. You've already started your Seder. You missed Kiddush. You missed Karpas. You missed Yachatz. Oh, now we're going to invite you to this. It seems like a little bit of an empty offer. And probably the biggest of the questions I'm going to share with you is that there's a major halachic issue with inviting somebody to your Seder. And Mirtz Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach, we're going to be living in Yerushalayim by next Pesach, by this coming Pesach. And Mirtz Hashem, I'm going to be able to perform your Korban Pesach on your behalf, and you're going to go home and eat the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, Be'ezras Hashem. But you know there's one itty-bitty little halacha that if you ignore, you completely invalidate the Korban Pesach, and that is, you cannot decide Pesach night who eats your Korban Pesach. Yunti, I've already decided that before it was shechted by the Kohen. You need to give the Kohen a list of the names of the people that he should have in mind, and only those people are allowed to participate. So good. What kind of invitation? Think about this invitation. My wife would kill me if I did this. Anybody want to come over? You could sit at our Seder. We'll give you a little bit of wine, but when we eat the delicious meal, you go sit on the couch because you can't participate. That's what we're doing. That's Achanos Zarchim. That's pshat. Can't be. So what exactly are we doing here? What is Halach Ma'anya? Good questions, right? Good questions. Okay. Rabbi Shugam, you'll tell me when you want me to leave. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, listen carefully. I'm going to jump because I'm running out of time. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, based on a very famous concept in Shas, Masha Kana Eved, Kana Rabo. We have a rule that if you're an Eved Knan, if you're a person who is owned by your master, if he goes, I'm a big Met fan, if he goes and picks up a Yoenis Cespedes jersey, and I'm his master, the minute he picks it up, it automatically becomes mine. Masha Kana Eved, Kana Rabo. Whatever is acquired by my slave automatically becomes mine. Listen to this. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, we're not inviting anybody to our Seder. We can't invite anybody to our Seder. We got this Korban Pesach issue. You can only metaphorically invite somebody to your Seder if you are free. I can't invite somebody to my table if I don't own a table. I can't invite somebody to have some of my wine if I don't own wine. What we are saying in Halach Ma'anya is not literally to be understood as, let's invite somebody to our Seder. It doesn't work this time around. It doesn't work. This is an expression of our chirus. By being able, having the ability to go ahead and invite somebody to our home, you can rent also, okay, you can rent also, you don't have to have the mortgage, but our home and our table, the only type of person that is even capable of doing such a thing is somebody who's free. In other words, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant as a way to utilize, to request, to be able to demonstrate that freedom that we have. Do I have one more minute, Rabbi Sugarman? One more? Okay, one more. Okay, I introduced this one. Rabbi Sugarman is very happy just eating some fruit back there. Okay, I'm not a big gematria guy, but I'm going to share this with you. Many of you in this room, I anticipate, are grandparents. And this is such an important Nakuda and our Misora as grandparents and as parents. The paradigmatic word that introduces a question in Lashon HaKodesh is Ma. That is probably the most frequent way of introducing a question in Hebrew. What is the gematria of the word Ma? 45. What would you say is the most sufficient, adequate, descriptive word that is most commonly used in the Torah to describe a human being? Adam. Good. We did not. Anybody that's listening, we didn't play this out. They knew beforehand. Adam. What does Adam add up to? Says Rav Aviner. Remember, I told you today is the Shorash HaEmunah. This is the root of everything we're going to do. You know what distinguishes the human being from every other species out there? The ability to ask Ma. No other creature in the world. You tell a dog when to go to the bathroom, he goes to the bathroom. You tell a dog when to eat, he goes and eats. The only species in the world that is capable of questioning is the human being. Says Rav Aviner. Listen to this, it gives me chills. I've said it for 15 years, it gives me chills every time I say it. If we don't give our children and those who are passing on the Masorah to the opportunity to ask questions as human beings and as Jews, it's not going to stop them from asking questions. They're just going to go ask somebody else. Pesach night is the time for our children to ask all the questions that are on their mind. Not on your mind, on their mind? What's troubling them in the Masorah? What area of Machshava are they working through that they don't fully understand? You say, poo, poo, poo. They're going to ask, as the Rabbi Avner described, they're going to go into the streets and they're going to ask those very same questions to people that are far less qualified to answer and will probably derail their emunah. It is the responsibility of us, of parents and grandparents, to facilitate and to create that environment where they can not only ask, but they can be encouraged to ask the questions. And guess what? It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay. You won't say, I don't know to everything. You know a lot. But the definition of an Adam, the definition of a human being, is to ask questions. And at the night in which we became a people, at the night in which we've become the Jewish people, where we're on our way to being Mekabel the Torah, it is that night that we have to facilitate an environment where Ma and Adam are synonymous. That it's okay for you to ask questions, and you're going to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking until you get an answer that you're satisfied with. That's Pshat of the Manish Tana. That's why one of the things that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik points out is different about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is Derech She'elo Tshuva, because the rest of the year you can just commemorate the leaving of Egypt. But on Pesach, now you got to ask the questions that need to be asked. Have a great day.